Buenos dias. Good morning. I stand here on behalf of 17 others from this church who had the privilege, the joy, the delight to travel to El Salvador at the end of November. What was a 7-day trip turned into a 10-day trip, but we were blessed by a few more days of 32-degree temperature. Well, Melanie sent pictures of snowstorms that you were in. We're delighted even to begin. I'm just standing on behalf. In a few moments, we'll see a slideshow and a couple of testimonies. But on behalf of those of us who went, we just want to begin by giving glory to God and thanking the Lord for the privilege it was for us to participate in what he was doing. He was, we discovered very quickly that we went more than just to build homes. We were a part of an answer to many prayers over months and years of folks who were reaching out to their Lord, our same God, that they would provide, they would have shelter for their family and protection from the elements and other forces. And so it just was a marvel to us that we had the privilege of participating in what God was doing. And so we give glory to God for his watchful care and that he would use us and that he would teach us. We also want to express lots of thanks to you and all the others in our family and friends and colleagues that represent people who contributed to what we were able to accomplish through the giving of a lot of dollars, which translated into homes for 26 friends. So we would want to begin by saying thank you so much for your generosity. Frankly, I look after a number of churches in a sense in my role across our denomination, but this has got to be my favorite. And we lead the way in generosity, without a doubt. So again, this is that experience. We went to El Salvador. We went 11 years ago, and some went even before that. So some team members from our team 11 years ago are here in the room. And we went into San Vicente, which is more of a valley, a mid-sized city. And this time we went to Alegria, which was up in the mountains. And so, as you'll see from the pictures, it was a beautiful spot created by God with still lots of need, and we were glad to be there. Could we invite our team? Let's stand across the front here. And it might be easier just to be across the front. And when we were on our trip, we were divided into teams, and so we became fast friends and worked well together. John, you come stand beside me, would you? I was known as Second John or John 2 because when they began to meet First John, John Heemstra, who was there, and I began to tell them, well, it's your birthday today, isn't it? Or is it today? Or
Never mind.
Today's his birthday. So this is
I'm only 80 years
this
old.
Is 80 today. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! John represented the abuelo, or the grandfather, of our group. And every time he came on site, many bowed and honored and helped him. And but it was meaningful to him to go. This is third time to visit the country and build homes, potentially participating in over 40 homes that have been built by his care or watch. And so I just asked if he'd share reflection about his experience, and particularly the one home, too, that was built.
Yes. I forget what her name was.
That's all right.
Yeah, good point. It was a privilege for me to go once more. I did a lot of crying when I was there. I'll probably cry again, but that's okay. I'd like to thank the young people that were with us, because they looked after me like I was their grandfather. And that was wonderful. And I got to connect with young people. That was part of my reason to take this trip, because I don't normally associate with the young people that much, but it was a privilege this time. And especially, I should mention, on the airplane ride too, I got to sit with that member of our church that went through hard times already, and more to come. And we got to connect one-on-one, and that was wonderful. Plus, I have to donate on behalf of Christine a home to a lady there. And the theme of the week was love, and that was my word for the experience. Love came both ways, from me and also from the El Salvadorians. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, John. With Derek here.
I've never spoken in front of church before, so I made a cheat sheet that I made up after tours this morning. All right, here we go. So it was a little rough leaving a soldier behind for a day. Sorry, Fletch. But everything went smooth after that. And as you can see on the pictures, or did see on the pictures, it was a beautiful landscape. The whole country is basically poverty and beauty. It was like all in one picture sometimes. It was quite something. And it was also pretty cool that Nick and I were the tallest people in the country. We could probably walk onto the El Salvador national basketball team if we ever decide to move down there. It was kind of hard to get used to. They're all shorter, and then they're looking at us like giants. So that was fun. So it was also amazing to see how happy and content they are. We're talking to one 78-year-old guy that lives up the mountain, and he's been down the mountain before, but that's all he's ever traveled in his 78 years. And he was perfectly happy. We asked him, would you change anything? He said, no, I love my life. And now he got his new house, and then he's got a roof that doesn't leak. He's got everything he could ever ask for. So by the end of the week, we had so much slang in our English speech, we actually thought that they actually thought they could understand us. So, but then we'd be talking to them, and then with like, we'd say like, perfect! You know, say perfect, like, perfect! And then we kind of look at each other, and they had no idea what we were saying. So then we had to wave the translator over. So that was pretty fun. So it was definitely different rooming with three other guys. And then me and Luke, we'd have a chat. We chat a lot. And then like Luke said to me one morning, he's like, Derek, I like being your roommate, but I'm looking forward to waking up beside someone prettier when I get home. So, and then Fletch and I even have a new bond. The Friday night down the road from the airport, we experienced an earthquake together. Mm-hmm. It was just before 1 in the morning. We're having a good chat, and I'm giving all my wealth of all my knowledge of, and anything I know about good marriage advice. And then all of a sudden, the room started shaking. And we're like, what was that? And then I'm pretty sure I almost hopped in bed with him. So, but it was but it was a great trip. I recommend it to anybody. But we're also happy to get home to our wives and kids, and it was good. I'm glad I went.
Sounds good. Just hold on to that mic for a moment. I just want to kind of wind up our time offering a testimony from Zach Luloff, who couldn't be here but took the time to write something, and so I'd like to share his experience. Zach says, I would describe my experience in El Salvador as very fulfilling. That's extremely eye-opening to see how people live their lives and living in the circumstances that they had. It was fulfilling to see for me the joy and the hope they had when they received these homes and see exactly what it meant to receive a house to live in. Hearing stories about every time it rained, they would be soaked because of their makeshift homes that couldn't keep the water out. And now they have a roof so they can stay dry. My experience helping these people gave me a greater experience of how much I'm blessed and how blessed I was to be given this opportunity to offer help to these wonderful families. Thank you from Zach. He and the few of us that have shared could take many more hours to share this thing. And as we've talked with Libby and Gavin, there'll be other opportunities for the team to share. But again, collectively, we love the experience. And there is murmuring about going again. The invitation is going, has come to us about the willingness to think about that. So we're praying, and again, for us, it was a blessing, right? And the machetes all made it back, so we're glad for that. So thanks again. God bless you for contributing to our trip.
I'd like to dismiss the kids now as they go downstairs, and invite up our scripture readers for this morning.
John 4:13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give them, never thirst indeed. The water I give them will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life."
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 11. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and spend your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. I give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it."
Let them eat cake. Who knows the saying? Let them eat cake. Oh, very few of you. Just a couple of history buffs. The saying is attributed to an out-of-touch, wealthy elite as an answer to hungry people who have no bread. They don't have bread, so let them eat cake, assuming they have cake. But a poor person eating cake is twofold. It isn't just that cake is expensive, but the problem is cake doesn't satisfy hunger. So you could spend money on it. It could fill your stomach, but nutritionally it would leave you emptier than before. So let them eat cake is an example of one person's worldly wisdom, which of course is utter foolishness. The godly wisdom we heard today in Isaiah 55, "Why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest affair." God isn't just talking about food. He's talking about wisdom. And as today, as our third Sunday in Advent, this is where we're headed today. What is the wisdom that we need in our Canadian culture today? Wisdom would ask the question, is this actually nourishing me? Or is this just an expensive filler? When I went to Kenya, Lockie, my son, was talking to Pastor Jane and some others there about how we have an after-church snack and how after church we get juice and cookies and last week, for our new members, cake. And as a poor Kenyan church, those who attend Pastor Jane's church skip lunch every week. They arrive at about 9:30 or 10:30 in the morning and go home mid to late afternoon. And Pastor Jane realizes that they come to church empty and go home spiritually full. However, they come to church physically empty and go home physically empty. They have hungry stomachs that she wished they could fill. So Lockie has the idea, let's us buy them snack. However, to buy them cookies or cake would be foolish because we would be spending a lot of money on something that is nutritionally empty. So with the help of our friend and driver, we decided to buy them bread and some watered-down juice. And what was their response? Kenyans love to dance. They danced for an hour. And we thought, maybe we should have watered that juice down just a little more. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. A few slices of bread filled their empty stomachs, and they were satisfied. And they danced and sang for joy, giving praise to God for an hour. We were worried they used up all those calories we put in there, but they couldn't stop praising Jehovah Jireh, their provider. But the story continues. And as we were leaving, we realized that we still had a generous amount of money that Plattsville Church had donated. And as a team, we decided, let's sponsor church snack for a year. We figured it would cost us about $40 a week. So when we left, we gave a year's worth of cash to our dear friend, who each week would arrange with the local shop to provide and deliver the bread and the juice to the church. And so it began. Apparently, church attendance went up a lot. And our friend is conscientious, and so he sends us the receipt to show us that he is indeed spending the money for church snack. But after a couple weeks, I began to notice that the bread, costing $25, was indeed being bought. But there was now $45 being spent not on watered-down juice, but on pop. What is going on here? I thought. So I reached out to our friend, who in the very meek, Kenyan, loving way said, "Oh, but Pastor Larry, they asked for it." And me, in my Enneagram personality number 8, Libby Way, said, "Listen, A, you are spending 1.5 times more than we have designated every week. At this rate, the money won't last the whole year. B, pop is full of empty calories. C, they don't have toothbrushes and toothpaste, so we're just giving them cavities. D, cut it out. Tell them Pastor Libby says no more pop. Give them water or watered down juice." Isaiah 55:2. "Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good." So, what is wisdom? Wisdom is staying within your budget and spending money on what satisfies. But if you think this sermon is all about food, you'd be in the same category as the woman at the well from our John 4 passage. She was drawing water in the middle of the day to avoid others. She was to whom Jesus answered in John 4:14, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So she asked how Jesus would get this water without a bucket. And later she learned that Jesus wasn't talking about physical water, but eternal life. And today we are not talking about physical food, but wisdom from our eternal God. We've been learning in junior youth that Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life." But we are not cannibals. Jesus didn't say to eat him literally. But Fletch, one week in junior youth, told them a great parable of wisdom. And he said, whenever you feel hungry, whenever you feel those hunger pains, May that be the reminder that you need to feed and fill on Jesus, the Word of God. So, to continue our food analogy today, food gives us energy for the day. Some of us eat once a day. Some of us eat five times a day. But we all eat enough to get us through this day, and maybe some for tomorrow as well. So, what is the wisdom we need for our Canadian world? Wisdom is keeping your spiritual tank full so that you can face today's journey. And why does this matter? Because you don't know how far you have to go each day. So you need to fill up every morning. In Canada, worldly wisdom tells us you don't have time. Time is what we are lacking. So just grab a cup of coffee and a donut on the way to work. But biblical wisdom says, listen, eat what is good. If you knew one day that you wouldn't get lunch, and that you had to travel a long way on foot, you would make time that day for protein for breakfast, and that would be wisdom. But you don't know what the day holds. You don't know how far you have to travel each day and what it holds. Many in our congregation have experienced this. One in our congregation didn't know the day her mom would have a brain aneurysm and how emotionally far she'd have to travel that day. Another in our congregation didn't know the day that her husband would get a cancer diagnosis and the marathon that she would have to begin running that day. Another in our congregation didn't know the day his wife would begin to get dementia and how heavy going that is on a friendship and a marriage to watch them slowly leave. And another didn't know the day his wife would get a brain tumor diagnosis. And what a journey we would start to run that day. But each of these people had been eating what is good. Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Each of these people had been feasting on what is good, feasting on the word of God. And when they face a day that they have to travel up a steep hill all day, they were equipped. The word of God yields bread for the eater. It achieved the purpose which God sent it, which is to form in the form of strength, in the form of encouragement, knowing that day they weren't alone. Courage in the face of adversity. Peace in the storm. And the truth in life when the world spouts to us facts of death. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats will never go hungry. I am the living water. He who drinks will never thirst. So, will you sit down for breakfast or will you drive through? Or if it's Sunday, will you avoid both and assume you'll get cake a church. These, of course, are analogies. Sitting down to eat reminds me of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still? Come on, God. It's December. You don't know how busy December is. We have got sleigh rides every weekend. Wrestling season is just beginning. Year end is calendar end. And there's a wedding over Christmas, and Christmas parties, and pageants, and plays, and lights we should go see, and movies we should watch, and dinner with the family. Oh, and shopping, right? Shopping. So much shopping. There's no time. I'll just get coffee and donuts and pray in the car. Isaiah 55:2. Why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear. Come to me. Listen, so you may live. When a word is repeated, it is of importance. Listen. Listen to me. Listening requires stillness. Be still and know the God of wisdom. So what's my main point? Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts. For those of you who spend a lot of time with someone, you can get to know what they're thinking. You can just look at them and tell. But it takes time. It takes observation. It takes actually looking at them. It takes reading their body language. It takes knowing their past. It takes knowing their personality. Knowing their subtleties. And so we are invited to know the thoughts of God. But in order to know those higher ways of God, in order to know God's wisdom, we need to sit down, be still, and eat, and not choose drive-through donuts. So, what's your main to-do for this week? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Be still. If you don't read, listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Spend time worshiping the King of the universe, and he will reveal to you the roadmap of the day that he would like to share with you. But you have to stop the car to read the roadmap, right? Reading and driving just gets you in an accident. You have to turn off music. You have to turn off the podcast. You have to turn off the noise in your life, even if it's good, to hear his still, small voice. And you have to allow the storm of Christmas busyness to reveal the lie that you need to go and buy and do, and reveal the truth that wasting time with God is never a waste of time. Wasting time with God is never a waste of time, because Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wasting time with God is never a waste of time because of Daniel 2:21. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. Wasting time with God is never a waste of time because of Matthew 11:25. You have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. So be like a child. Wake up and say, "Good morning, Dad. What do I need for the journey today, Dad? I'd love to hear today's plan, Dad." and wait for his response. Maybe over your quiet time, he'll equip you with a song or a verse or an image or an inclination to call that person and encourage them for what they need for their day. Wasting time with God is never a waste of time because of Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Secret things are revealed in a quiet, alone space. God isn't throwing his pearls among swine. And if you want coffee and donuts in the drive-thru instead of the bread of life, he will let you. He is a God of love, and love always gives a choice. So I encourage you to make your choice this Christmas season to sit, to be still, and to waste some time with God. So here's your to-do list. If you haven't set a regular time with God, set one. If you've never got up early and spent time with God or carved out time at your lunch, set your alarm, open the Bible app, listen, read that daily verse. If you have never or read a whole book of the Bible, then start with the book of John. I challenge you. Just read that book front to back. Or if you have never journaled, I challenge you to get a notepad, a pen, write your questions to God, write it down, and then just keep writing and see what his reply to you is. Write them down so you can line this up with scripture later and look back on the faithfulness of God. And if you have never spent some time in silence and solitude, schedule it in. Have you ever scheduled 2 hours on your calendar alone with God? If yes, increase it to 6. What about 24 hours alone with God? No phone to ring, no social media to distract, no other humans to interact with. No matter what time you put into the calendar, know that wasting in worldly foolishness, wasting time with God, is never a waste of time. Because in that space, God promises to meet you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. God promises to never leave you, Hebrews 13:5. He promises to be found by you, Jeremiah 29:13. He promises to give you wisdom, James 1:5. And that when you spend time in his word, which is alive and active, Hebrews 4:12, that his word will not return empty, Isaiah 55:11. God's word is not empty calories. It is good food. And it is free for the taking, as much or as little as you need. God will provide bread for the eater for the day's journey ahead. So I encourage you to make a commitment in your heart today before God. And if you need prayer for godly wisdom, please don't leave today without talking to myself or one of the elders so that we can pray. Let's pray now together. Lord, may we be doers of the word and not just hearers, James 1:22. And as we are in the season of Advent, waiting for your grand arrival on this earth, may we be like the wise men who were still enough to notice a new star far off in the sky. May we be still enough to notice what you are pointing out to us. May we be still enough to hear what you are equipping us with for the journey ahead. May we be still enough to notice your presence in our life. God, may we not waste our money on what is not bread. May we listen, deeply listen to you and eat what is good. May we seek you while you may be found and call on you while you are still near. Hear our commitment today, Lord, to spend time with you. And God, give us the bravery to tell others so that they may also help hold us accountable. Because Romans 7:15, for what I want to do, I do not do. Father, I don't want coffee and donuts. I don't want what won't satisfy. I'd rather have Jesus. He is all my hungering spirit needs. Fill me up today and every day, Lord, as I waste time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you today as you leave. Go in God's truth in your minds and wisdom in your choices. Go with the peace of Christ in your hearts as you prepare for the arrival of Jesus. Do not spend your lives on what doesn't satisfy, but eat the bread, the manna God provides each day, because it is enough. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.